When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
You're listening to The Jillian Michael Show. Word!
Okay, who's tired of fasting or cleanses that just leave you hungry and exhausted instead of rejuvenated and energized? Well, Prolon is the scientifically proven meal plan solution you've been waiting for. Prolon is a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making the cells believe they're fasting. Researched and developed for decades at the University of Southern California Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, Prolon helps promote healthy blood sugar, support cardiovascular health, and reduce abdominal fat. But Prolon isn't a diet. Prolon is science. Science based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. And this all starts with Prolon's 5-day program, snacks, soups, and beverages, all designed to keep your body in a fasting state. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. I did it for 5 days because I've had the absolute hardest time with straight fasts for even 24 hours, and it was a game changer for me. So right now, Prolon is offering Keeping It Real Conversations with Jillian Michaels listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Just go to prolonlife.com/Jillian. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian for this special offer. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian.
Oh, Jake!
Yes.
Has a segment. I didn't let Jake talk, though, until we were rolling. Go ahead, Jacob. What happened?
I don't know if I want to...
You don't want to do it?
I want your advice on it. I was actually, you know what, the day after it happened, I wrote my father a letter, and I was going to write one to you as well to see what you had to say before I wrote his.
Oh, but you should have, yeah.
I was just a little shooken up and just wanted to get out how I feel on paper, and I ended up just giving it to him.
How'd that go? Well, babe, give us some context, because I'll explain it to you. Like, I know a little bit about it. So I think I can give you an explanation that will make you feel better, but let's tell us the story, because I think a lot of people will relate to your story. So not your exact details, but the way you felt, I think I can help with that. So go ahead.
Well, there's three parts about how I felt.
First tell what happened.
So we
gotta
play
teach
poker.
Him how to do radio again. Famished. You know I'm a Russian Jew. Go ahead, babe.
We play poker every Wednesday with the same group of guys. And I've been playing with them for 11 years playing poker with these guys. So they were there for some pretty formative years of my life.
Okay.
And, I grew up feeling safe around these
Was Mike
men.
there?
Mike is not. No. These are dad's friends. These are all
Oh.
men. These are older men. So
Oh.
these were the guys that I went to for advice on things or looked up to and felt safe around, truly safe in this place. I looked forward to it every week.
Okay.
Every now and then a new player would come and go, but it mainly
Okay.
was the same seven dudes.
Okay.
Anyways, through my stepmom's friends somehow, this new guy came a couple years ago, maybe 2 years ago, and he doesn't play too often.
Okay.
And the first time I met him, we already butted heads, and I had beaten him the first time pretty hard. I took a good amount of money off him, a couple $100, and just in my fashion, I was like, oh, it's because I play more poker than you.
Okay,
And
right.
he flipped out and lifts up his sleeve and shows me his tattoo and goes, can I say what he called
Yeah,
me?
go ahead.
Hey, you little f***ing faggot. Look, I
Wow.
played in the World Series 6 times. You have in, you know,
Little faggot. He's a high quality human being.
he had to
By the
be,
way,
you
you're
know.
only allowed to say faggot if you're gay, just to be clear. Just like black people are the only ones that are allowed to reclaim the N-word.
He may be, who knows, maybe
So
he's
I can call you a
inside.
faggot, but no one else can. But go ahead.
So he's already, it's established that he's a jerk and he doesn't like me. Time goes on. He's, whatever. He's been in my face once or twice. And the other night we're playing poker and it's the second hand of the night. It's really early. And the hand ends. I won the hand
Ooh.
and my last bet was $25.
Okay.
He only put in 15. I saw him place the three red chips, $5 value each, into
Okay.
the. So after I take the pot, I count it out in front of me and I show him. I say, you've only put in $15.
The bet was 25.
The bet was
And he has to
25.
match that. Right. Okay.
Right.
Got it.
And
Okay.
so, and I accounted for everybody else's previous bets, the antes and everything.
Okay.
And I showed, and the guys all agreed that it's right there in front of you. You can't mistake it. The chips are in front of you. There's no mistaking that you did not put in enough money.
Okay.
He's cursing and yelling, and he puts in the $10 and he goes, whatever here. And I go,
Okay.
thank you. I go, don't try and fuck me like that. Because if it
Ooh.
was anybody else, he wouldn't do that. But because it's me, he's, oh, I'm throwing $15, huh, whatever.
Yeah.
He grabs me by my neck,
Whoa.
throws me in my leg. 'Cause we're sitting at an oval table. I'm at
Okay.
the end of it, and he's to my left. My legs get hit the leg of the table, and I fall on my back, which I think was probably lucky. So he throws me by my neck, a
Jesus.
pretty good. I'm 170 pounds, 6'2". I'm not that easy to throw.
I could probably do it, but no, yeah, it's not easy.
I go pretty far across the room. He jumps on top of me and starts punching me,
Wow.
probably about 20, 30 times.
Okay.
Where was everybody
Well,
else?
wait a minute.
Okay.
So,
Right, Janice, and there we are.
and there we are. And these are the guys that that I grew up with. So
That's what Jake was wondering.
my dad's the only one that gets up. And he kind of touches his shoulder, and I'm looking through my forearms because I have my fist to my forehead protecting my face, which is why I still look so
I
handsome.
was gonna say you do look good still. Do you have any other bruises, or
My back's
this
kind
guy
of
was
messed up.
just a, I won't even call him a faggot because faggots are awesome.
Yeah.
He was a, and I won't call him the P word because those are awesome too. He was a Barbie doll. I
He
hate those.
didn't hurt
I
me as
hate
bad
those
as he
for.
tried, but it was violent. And there's so
Right,
much
I get
crap in
it.
this room that I could have broken my arm on any,
Nope, I hear you.
Anyways, Dad's kind of just grabbing his shoulder saying, hey, come on, come on. I'm expecting my father to hit this guy over the head with a chair or throw him or something while he's on top of me. And that didn't happen. So I'm not blaming my dad for that. And I'm not saying, I got really upset and hurt about that.
Right.
So at the end of all this, the guy yells, he goes, get him the fuck out of here, blah, blah. And I'm like just silent. I'm looking at him like, what?
Yeah.
He grabs his stuff from the table and he leaves.
Okay.
The guys don't have much to say.
No.
The guy to my right says, oh, I'm sorry. I sit back down. One person, this guy Gary, goes, hey, are you okay? Like,
Whoa.
not even my own father asked me if I'm okay.
Okay.
The guy to my right goes, well, you shouldn't have really provoked him like that. And so
that's called victimizing the victim. Okay, so people do when they feel helpless.
This is a concept.
Textbook. This is what they do to rape victims.
You shouldn't have warned that.
Did you say no? You know, and it's like.
Well, wait. Let me get further with this. Yeah. So the night ends. Whatever. We're driving home. My dad kind of says, you know, Rick's comment was kind of right. Not Rick D's, by the way.
Right. No, of course not.
Rick's comment was kind of right. He goes, you know, Dave, like, you know, you pushed his button. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So I'm like, I don't say another word the rest of the ride home. I get into bed. I still live with my dad and my stepmom. In the morning, he comes into my room and goes, hey, I wanted to say something to you. I go, honestly, please, I don't want to talk to you right now. What you said was, it really hurt me. I don't want to talk to you. He goes, well, I just wanted to say sorry for last night. Blah, blah. I'm like, whatever. I write this letter to him, and the letter basically says, I felt safe with you guys.
Yeah.
That's something that will never, that was taken away from me.
Yep.
You're my father. I expected a little more. I'm hurt for these reasons. And the fact that you would sit there and say that I asked for it, whatever. Anyways, the letter goes on to say the way that he treats his life, he brushes everything off
right.
because it's easier for him.
Right.
And I'm not faulting him for that. It hurts me though. So I said in this letter, you do what you want the rest of your life. But with me, I can't have any sort of relationship with you, any further relationship, because it hurts me too much the way that you go about brushing things off like this. And if you brush this off, that's the final straw.
Okay, but that is exactly what you're saying, is that it isn't even. This is a perfect example of the massive disappointment you have felt with what you perceive to be your dad's shortcomings, right? And then there it was, glaringly so. So in truth, you haven't actually felt safe.
Right.
And you haven't felt.
Well, physically, I would expect my dad to do something. Like, I'm an adult, but when I'm in a position where I've already been thrown across the room and I'm on my back, like, okay, do something. If I'm standing up and there's a fist fight, I don't need you to jump in, but I'm getting my ass kicked. I would expect you to lend a hand more than just words and a hand on a shoulder.
Okay. So, all right. So then I would put this out to the whole group for a second, okay? So who in the room has ever felt disappointed with the way other individuals have or have not behaved or had their back or handled a situation?
Me
too,
that.
Nicole?
Absolutely.
Right. I think everyone's felt that way. I'm the queen of feeling that way. I'm the queen of, like, I get everyone's back. I'm loyal, loyal, loyal. And, you know, I get the, well, that person never did anything to me. I'm like, well, you know what? Then you can get effed and go hang out with them. Like, and the reality, but the thing is, when I talk to my shrink about it, you're struggling with, babe, is your inability to, truthfully, to control. And I'm not making you the victim. Hear me out. Or the bad guy. Hear me out. Your inability to control other people's behaviors. And they will disappoint you. They are limited. A love of you cannot overcome their issues. Your dad obviously has an issue with conflict. You don't know where it comes from. Maybe you do.
I hardly know anything about his childhood.
Well, there
too.
You go, yeah. Babe. There you go. He has a serious issue with conflict and confrontation.
And I'm the opposite, so it frustrates me to no end. I'm like, dude, what don't you understand about things need to be talked about,
not
everything.
It's not that simple, baby. It's just not. It's not that simple. I had a conversation with a friend the other day whose husband, it turns out, to make a very long story short, had been sleeping with prostitutes and buying drugs off some site on the quote dark web, right? And she's like, he did this to me, he did this to me, he did this to me. I was like, no, dude, he's broken. He's always been broken. You, because of your issues with your family, right, walked into a war zone determined to make peace and got hit with some shrapnel and said, you shot me. It has nothing to do with her. And it has nothing to do with you. And we all think, well, your love of me should be enough. And what's right is right. And we have problems with their own individuality, with their being separate from us. And with their narcissism, like I've said to my shrink, like, why doesn't this person fight for this? Why do these people do these things? How come those people aren't okay with it? I mean, I can take it all the way to like politicians that deny global warming. I mean, that's how deep I can get with it. I'm like, you're destroying the planet, you savage. I mean, like, it just, it's like having issues with other people's differences and it becomes personal. And Jake, what you're going to have to appreciate is, A, it's not personal, as hard as that may sound, especially being that it's your father.
That's the hardest part. It's my father.
But honey, he's limited. People are limited. And it isn't because of you. It isn't because he doesn't love you. And you have no idea what his issues are with this and how deep they run. And so what I said to my friend, right, who's husband was doing these things, and she's like, that's bull, don't give me that, Jill, he's broken and this and that and it's an addiction and this and that, that's crap, and you know it, you just choose not to do it. I go, really? I'm like, this is like the 10th guy you've dated like this. Why don't you just choose not to date them? You can't. You're addicted to going into this pattern and trying to save this person.
It's comfortable.
Well, and I'm sure she's trying to heal some wound of like trying to save her father, or, you know, so she gets back in to try to avoid dealing with the loss, dealing with the disappointment, thinking, if I can save this one, if I can change this one, I can heal all this old pain. Yeah. And Jake, he is broken there.
You said I don't know where the issues come from with him and everything. I don't even think he knows.
No,
he
probably doesn't.
He doesn't take the time to look at himself ever. And so the story continues. Basically, he takes my letter, nothing for a few days. Starts to text
me. Deal with confrontation.
Right. And so he's texting me about beats because I grew up watching beats. And
I'm like, can't deal with confrontation.
So I say to him, where do you get off on thinking we're buddy buddy? He's like, time. And I'm like, no, you need to talk to me in person. We talk in person. Guess what the first thing he says is. You were asking for it.
Right.
I cocked back and went halfway, stopped myself. I couldn't see. I was like choking. I've never, ever been so upset.
What's the first thing people say to rape victims?
What were you wearing? Like, where were you?
She was asking for it.
And I'm like, I'm trying to make clear. I was like, look, Carol's in the other room. She wears low-cut shirts. What if she gets sexually assaulted? Is that
Bingo.
Her fault?
And right.
He's like,
I'm gonna see if my mom's.
He's like, absolutely not her fault. And I'm like, exactly.
Right.
He's like, but you know how Dave is. And I'm like, what? What is the difference here? And so I lost it. I just absolutely lost it. I didn't hurt him. I was so close to punching him. I go into my room. I come back out. I try to explain calmly. Finally, he reads the letter out loud to my stepmom. Gets a sentence deep. I'm in my room. I could hear it from my room.
You were asking for it, though. Look at that.
Right. It blew my mind that he said that. I'm in my room. I hear him trying to read this to my stepmom to kind of get some, you know, feedback. He gets through one sentence and starts crying because he can't, because he knows he's, you know, hurt. She reads the rest of it. He comes in. I've never seen him this upset. Mm. Swears to me that he's going to change. Swears to me that he needs to be more present in everyday life and go deeper and scratch. You know, he just scratches the surface of his relationships with everything.
Oh, wow. And well, that's big.
It was a huge breakthrough, seemingly. And then a day later, I'm like, so what did you say to the guys? Like, is that guy allowed back at the game? He's like, no, I'm like, but you promised me you'd say something. He goes, I never did that, did I? Oh, I guess I did. While he's like munching on some snack, watching TV, and I was like, dude, come on. It's one day later and you...
Honey, you don't understand how deep this is.
But I know, but I feel like I'm going to be so...
You can't, sweetheart. It's like saying to somebody who's smoked for 1,000 years or who drinks or who's a sex addict, and remember that people do not engage in destructive behaviors because they're weak, lazy, or stupid. It's because at one time or another, that behavior was their way of psychologically surviving something. A, he doesn't understand it. B, it's extremely deep-rooted. And C, to give up that pattern is life-threatening to his psyche. It's terrifying psychologically. It's just, I'm not saying he's right, honey. I'm trying to help you understand.
I understand
how deep. And that this has nothing to do with his love for you. He's, Jake, here's where you need to go with this. He's limited. Not saying that you should not confront him. Not saying that you shouldn't push him. You can hold him accountable as much as you want to hold him accountable. However, going into it, what you need to know is it has nothing to do with how much he loves you. The likelihood is he probably won't change, so go in with zero expectation. And then make sure that moving forward, you protect yourself and surround yourself in the relationships you cultivate with people that would have your back.
I want to clarify one thing, too. I know my dad loves me, and he's always shown me immense love my entire life. So I'm not...
He's limited,
you know, anyone listening,
though,
I don't want people to think, like, oh, he doesn't love me. He loves me. He's an incredible person all around. But in this one aspect, he lets me down every time, and it's heartbreaking. And
he'll continue to. And likely will continue to.
I can't be around that, though, and I made it clear, like, as I'm growing up, I'm realizing more and more what's good for me and what's bad for me, and it's so...
Oh, honey. I know. I'm sorry, babe.
It's like, you know, first my best friend and...
I know, but look, babe, look at the pattern. Like, you're surrounding yourself with people who don't have your back.
They've just been there, you know, I grew up with these people. It's not like new friends that I'm meeting that are like, oh, you know, if I met a person that showed these things now, I'd be like, I don't really care to get to know you. But it's like realizing that I can't, like, deal with the way that he deals with things.
What you need to do, this is so hard. I wish to God my mom was available. I'm sure she's with a patient. You need to just feel what you're feeling now and process the loss of, like, not having the father. You have a great dad, but not having what you needed here.
I don't want to deal with that yet. I don't.
But if you,
know.
You don't, babe, there's no way not to. It's not, you can't run from this. It will just do more damage. And that's, my mom once said, like, I remember we were talking about how people have to kind of grieve things to work them through, right? And they're like, yes, I can, I'm strong, I got it. And she's like, okay, take a lit cigarette and say, I'm going to hold this against your skin. Now, how do you feel about it? You're like, whoa, 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 whoa. And she's like, people don't appreciate that this kind of pain is as bad as physical pain, if not worse, yet they know it unconsciously and can't deal with it. But sweetie, I can tell you on a cerebral level, it's deep, it's not about you, it's not because of you, you know, don't allow this to affect your feelings of self-worth, you know, like, try to understand, you know, your dad has these issues, we all have them, this is his, people will disappoint you, and, you know, but what you need to go through first before any of that will ever register is just the devastation that comes with feeling like this person didn't have your back, and he didn't have your back, Jake, because he is incapable at this time, at the least, of a conflict. He just, it's terrifying to him. So much so that it paralyzed him in that moment.
And the moment wasn't what's most important. What's most important is his actions afterwards and
how he dealt with it. But he did what is a textbook thing called victimizing the victim, where you're angry because of how it's made you feel. So it probably made him feel totally emasculated, totally incapable, totally helpless, totally out of control. So you lash out at the victim. It's textbook. She was asking for it. You were asking for it.
I just spent my, you know, whole life and all my time in therapy that I go to dealing with the issues I have with my mom. And my entire life has been gravitated towards my dad because he doesn't treat me outwardly negatively the way she has in the past. So now I'm realizing the way that he treats me was better for me during that time, but now also sucks. It's like, where are they, you know? Which they both kind of can't provide or aren't providing what I need from a parent.
Okay, well, so, okay, two things. My whole life, it was always like, my dad's a prick, my dad's a prick, my dad's a prick, right? Because that's safe. Enough. Because you're like, well, I have, you know, you're all bad, 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 bad. And then there's the good parent, and I have that. But no parent's perfect. So I realized that there was a dynamic with my mom, and it was so hard. Because you're like, well, then what do I have, right? If I am fighting with my mom, what do I have? And my mom is able, you know, fortunately, to really be able to like look at it and hear me and process it and go, okay, you know, I don't see that, but let me think about it and this and that. But you realize that like that is half of your childhood as well. Now, dealing with that stuff is really hard because then you're like, oh my God, I'm alone. It's like the primal abandonment, which it's not. You will work this through even if the relationship with your dad is not perfect and no relationship is. What I can tell you is that as a kid, you're like, you look to your parents and you think to yourself, at least I know I did. You're like, how is it possible that like you know, get it together, right? You know, get your shit together. I mean, Janice, I don't know, Janice is, I mean, did you?
No, you
give me the perfect parent childhood bullshit all the time.
No, I mean, I have something to say, but I don't want to interrupt this flow.
Do it, Mama.
No, please.
Okay, I think that, and this is the hardest part, and I learned this from 12 Step, is at some point, I think, Jake, you will have to look at what is your part in this, because you haven't looked at what your part in this is yet. And I'm a firm believer in that.
When you think it is...
I'm not going to speculate. That's not for me to say.
Okay.
That is something I think Jake has to find through his own process. But we all have a part in it.
Well, just like my friend went in to save this guy. Like she was like, oh, I'm going to save him. And it's, you know, she knowingly walked into a war zone.
Yeah. So you're playing a part.
Right.
You do. And it won't reveal itself until you need space away from it. And then you can kind of go, oh, okay, this is how I may have been part of what happened here. It's a tough one because I know how hurt you are, but I do believe we always have a part in something.
That's interesting. Okay, but here's what I would say. I would say if you put your... Here's my thing, though, because I have looked at a lot of this stuff with my shrink, okay? And I was like, what did I do? 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 And he's like, sometimes nothing.
No,
sometimes nothing. Like, you can't be responsible for them. Like, you're not responsible for who they are. You're not responsible for how they behave. Like, you know, it's like sometimes it is. Now, I think if you go back to the well and you continue to allow yourself to be abused in a situation, then yes.
I just think we always have to, maybe not,
I'm not saying you're wrong.
I think we have to entertain that.
I hear you. And I would also say, though, Jake, that as a parent, I remember thinking like I was going to have my kids and that it would just be so easy to know what the right thing to do was. But the problem is, babe, that all those deep issues that you have already as a human being with significant imperfections do not vanish overnight when a child walks through your front door or in some cases out of your body, you know, and then you're like, oh, no. And then you start to see that you can appreciate your parents differently because now that you are a parent and you have not miraculously become perfect and you screw up and you make mistakes, you know, it does allow some leeway to understand their humanity. Because as a kid, I think you believe like, no, any normal person would do this. This is what any sane person would do if someone was beating their kid without understanding A, why he's so broken and B, you know, how you might not be able to overcome one of your issues at some time with your kids, even though you're like, you know, you should.
Yeah.
You know,
no, that's, I understand that. I think being in therapy has helped me see that.
Yeah.
Thankfully I don't have a kid yet.
Ugh.
So
it's, boy, it brings a whole new level.
No, I understand.
Let me tell you,
I don't hold how he is against him because I know who knows. I don't know my dad that well,
you
which is surprising.
You should start by trying to find out if you can get anywhere with it.
I've tried so many times and been like, hey man, like, let's just talk about things, your child, you know, we'll talk lightly about how he grew up or whatever, but he doesn't open up ever, and he just keeps things so casual and light because the more shallow that things are, the less hurt he can be by anything.
Yeah.
So whenever... He doesn't want to dig into anything around him that's wrong because it can hurt him, and he's afraid. These were his words.
No, nope, I hear you. It's at least he had that moment.
And exactly. And I'm just, out of all this, I'm thankful that he came into my room and he said, I want to have a more intimate relationship with you. I want to get to know you better as my son and do things that have more meaning with you.
Yeah.
And he goes, I don't do that with people. And with...
Just keep pushing him, Jake. And you keep pushing him, and at the same time...
But right
time,
now it hurts too much to push
well,
him.
Well, I was going to say, at the same time, I think you also need to kind of grieve what this means. And there's just no way around that. And I know that feeling, babe. And I've been disappointed and let down. And it's like, how is it possible that you're not like me? This is what I would do. And people are not going to be like you.
Yeah, that's...
And that's another hard part.
I feel that very often with things that seem very simple to me.
It's not.
I get it.
And that's the part where it's like your omnipotence is challenged. Like, that's the part that I know I've played. Is I'm like, no, this is right. This is what you do. How are you not seeing that? This is the right thing to do.
Right.
But it's like, it's just people are, my shrink's like, you're having a hard time accepting other people's psychological reality and their differences and their this and their that. And, you know, because it hurts you and it disappoints you and it scares you. And that's the part that you got to deal with, babe. And that's really hard. And there's just, this is life though, sweetheart. Like, it doesn't, this is life. Like, yes, you know, you work, you play, you this, you that. But as a person, if you were to really ask yourself, like, all right, what's it all about? You know, besides going to Jesus or whatever the heck else, like, what is your job? God help, even if you do go there, like, God helps those who help themselves. Like, what is your job? It's to grow and evolve. So we take these hurts and these wounds and these pains, and we look at them and we feel them and we process them and we allow them to make us stronger, wiser, smarter. And this kind of journey, it's life work, lifelong work, honey. It doesn't just like get better overnight.
Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian. What's the easiest choice you can make? Soup or salad? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From your online start to your first million orders, Shopify's there to help you grow. No matter what your product is, they can help you sell it everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, Shopify can help you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average than other leading commerce platforms. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Jillian, all lowercase. Just go to shopify.com/Jillian now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Jillian.
All right, everyone knows by now how much I love Skims underwear because I mentioned them a ton and I've been wearing them forever. I mean, I guess specifically a year and change. That's like forever in my life. I can stick with something for longer than 30 days. It's forever. So this is big for me. And let me tell you, they are worth the hype. From the support they give to their amazing shape, and best of all, they're super comfortable. Whether it's the weightless scoop bra, the fits everybody plunge bra, the fits everybody t-shirt bra, I just get them in sand. You don't see them under anything at all. They're awesome. They're comfortable. I don't even realize I'm wearing them. They go with everything. So shop Skims bras at skims.com now, available in 62 sizes from 38 to 46H.
And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. So after you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
So, Mom?
Yeah.
Okay, this immediately brought me to, like, when you talk to me about how people victimize the victim.
Yeah.
And my first question is, can you explain... I know you've told me, and I try to paraphrase it, you know, but I do a weak job. It's like a game of telephone. Can you explain that notion to Jake? Because it devastated him, first of all. And I'm sure our listeners have had that happen, too. And I don't fully know how to explain why people do that.
Well, they do it as a defense. First of all, I don't know. I would, if I had you and your dad in the room, I'd have to ask you both a lot more questions. So you understand I'm responding in a general way.
Of course.
But what happens is when people victimize the victim, it's because they feel usually helpless and powerless. Now, it's not always. Your father could just be a nasty man. I don't know
he's
that.
He's not. He's,
no, he's a great person.
Yeah, he's a great person. He's terrified of conflict.
Oh, there you go. Okay. So then it's definitely your father feels helpless and he feels powerless. And so therefore, rather than have to acknowledge and experience his own helplessness and his own shame about that, he will victimize the victim. And that often, it's often, I see it a lot, Joan, with different people, especially with people who've been raped and whose parents feel so helpless and so angry, but they don't have the strength to go up against the person who raped them or to take action. And so they ask their child what their child did. I mean, I'm not saying all parents are like that.
No,
of course,
no, of course not.
But that's a kind of situation where that also happens.
Yeah.
When people are weak and they feel shameful and they can't tolerate feeling their shame and their guilt, they blame the person who was the victim.
So, Jake, I wanted you to hear that so you understand where it's coming from and you don't internalize it. But then second, Jake's relationship with his dad, with this issue, but I mean, it's very much like our relationship, right? Like the mother has the contentious relationship with him, just like I have it with dad, and he's always been really close with his dad, just like I've always been really close with you. Okay. But this is their issue, right? And Jake has felt like his dad just can't. I'm going to let you express it, sweetie, because he's devastated.
I'm not sure what the issue is. Well, Jake's
devastated.
Dynamic, but I'm not sure how it's.
And he doesn't know how to move past it. So go ahead, honey.
The issue in every aspect of his life, when things are difficult or there's a problem that needs to be confronted, not all do, but whenever there's something that becomes difficult for him, he brushes it off. Yeah. The perfect example is after I gave him this letter deeply explaining how I feel, days passed, and he texted me a photo of some beets and said,
Of what, honey?
Beets, like the vegetable, the root.
Oh,
vegetable.
Okay.
And he goes, should I boil them or broil them? And I replied, I said, what makes you think that we can be buddy-buddy before you even acknowledge what I wrote you? And he says, I don't know, time? And he brushes everything off and tries to let everything blow over because he's afraid to, like you said, afraid of confrontation, afraid to face things and see how they can actually hurt him.
Yes.
So for me, at this point in my life, I'm finally realizing it hurts me so much that he does that. And he can do that in any aspect of his life that he wants. But when it involves me, I'm starting to realize that I can't do it anymore. And
okay, sweetie, listen to me. I hear you. First of all, when I'm on the air, I can in no way diagnose your father because I could get my license revoked.
Right. Okay? No, we're not. Yeah.
Because they know you. We're now identifying somebody, and I have to be careful to talk in generalities.
Right.
Okay. But having said that, especially to you, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I understand your pain. I completely get it. It's awful. But, honey, from what you're telling me, your father isn't malicious. He's weak.
Right.
And there's a difference.
No, and I'm
but
not upset with him.
How does he contend with that, though, Mom? Like, how does he move forward?
Grief. It's called grieving.
There you go. Yeah.
This is exactly what Jillian said.
Yeah.
But then how does he begin to do that? What does he do?
I would say get into therapy.
I've been in therapy for a couple of years.
Yeah, okay,
I don't know who your therapist is, but somebody needs to help you to bring up your own feelings that you're defending against. And that could take a long time. Not all therapists are the same. Not all therapists understand this as deeply as others. Does she get inside you, or does she just talk about how you should react to the outside? Because reacting to the outside doesn't change how you feel. It does nothing.
Right.
The work that needs to be done for you, honey, it needs to be inside work where you are able over time, as you trust your therapist, deeply stay in touch with your own pain, which you're defending against, understandably.
Yeah, she's pretty good at getting deep into under the surface and getting inside of me and figuring out how I need to address.
You're going to have to eventually come to acceptance.
Really?
Yes. What do you want him to do?
I wanted him to set boundaries around love his father and have a relationship where he doesn't put himself in a position, like, but then put the boundries up.
Boundaries are fine. I'm not saying he shouldn't set boundaries. What I'm saying...
So acceptance doesn't mean you allow it.
No.
Acceptance means you...
Wait, hold on. Yeah. Hold on. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the fact that his father is never going to change. He can't. And so, yes, how are you going to feel, Jay? Because he's going to do this over and over because he can't do it any differently. He truly can't. So I'm not saying you have to forgive him. What I'm saying is you have to understand it. And, you know, you can set boundaries. But what kind of boundaries, Jillian, can he set to stop him from being in the line here?
I think he needs to stop depending on his father in that way, and then he won't be devastated by knowing.
Are you depending on him to protect you?
He continuously goes back to the well of, like there was a story about a house, and it's like, let me rent this house from you instead of giving it to this and that and the other. And I'm like, you should just forget it. Forget it.
Okay, so you're right, Jillian, but he's doing exactly what I'm saying. He's not accepting the truth. He keeps reliving it
trying
to change his father.
Right, yeah, I get it.
Hoping for a different outcome.
Yes, I got it.
That isn't going to happen.
Can you explain one other thing, Mom? And then I promise I'll let you go because I know you have to go teach.
Okay.
I think to the majority of people I talk to, they feel like, shouldn't I be enough? Why, if you loved me, are you not capable? Why is your love not overcoming you where you break a chair over this guy's head? Or, you know, I have a friend going through something where her husband has a sex addiction and was sleeping with hookers, and she's like, how am I not enough? Can you explain why he can't change?
You know, okay.
I think, but Jake and the rest of our listeners probably don't. Most people I talk to don't understand that.
Sweetie, I'd have to give you a long lecture to explain it to you. But the fact is, people are born with temperaments, but it's not the temperaments that are usually the problem. It's then how the environment shapes the temperaments. And people then develop what's called conflicts and deficits. Deficits in their ability to tolerate certain feelings. And everybody has traumas in their life. No parent's perfect, and every child has traumas with their parents. And then they'll have traumas. Their children will have the same traumas. In other words, your father is limited. Dylan, I can't explain this in a nutshell, but he's born like he's got one leg missing. And I'm not criticizing him, but that's just the reality. And you need to grieve that. And believe me, he needs to grieve his own stuff with his own parents, which he never did.
No.
Because he might be stronger to this day if he had done that. And the reason that the child blames themselves is because they have this fantasy that all parents are capable and protective, and if they loved well enough. And honey, some people cannot love maturely, and it's not their fault. They can't. They never were loved maturely themselves. So the reason the child blames themselves, and there's this famous saying by a famous analyst, and the gist of it is, I'd rather be a sinner in a world with a God than a saint in a world with no God. In other words, the child would rather think there's something wrong with me, and therefore, but God exists, the good father exists, and if I'm just good enough, I have the power to change this. And so they keep trying over and over again. Whereas they think, if it's not me, then I'm in a world with no God. What's the point?
Right.
That's the child's point of view. And we grow up with that until we ourselves become an adult and work through our own issues and mourn.
Yes, Pookie?
It's difficult for me to begin grieving because that feels like I'm giving up on him.
Well, you're giving up on that part of him. Aren't there parts of him that are good?
Absolutely. He's an incredible man.
There you go. So you're having trouble holding... Joan, I can't talk too much, so I'm going to lose my voice to teach.
Yeah.
But you see, you're giving up. You're saying because...
You're making it black and white, babe.
Exactly. Because he can't do one thing, he's not good for anything. That's not true.
Yeah, you're right.
You have to mourn and accept who he is. I'm not saying you even have to forgive it. You need to be sad about this. You need to be grieved. And you're going to have anger, too. And all that belongs in your therapy.
Thanks, Mama.
You know how painful it's going to be, Jake? You already see it, which is why you're defending against it.
So I don't want to go through that right now, but you're right.
Well, of course, but then you're going to do the same thing. If you don't deal with this issue yourself, trust me, you're going to stay in an immature place yourself. And when you have children, this is going to somehow affect them.
You're right.
The same thing that you're feeling is the same thing your father felt, which is why he never dealt with this. It's hard. It's hard for everybody.
Thanks, Mama.
Thank you.
Okay, sweetie. You're welcome.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right.
Okay. Well, I ran across this article in health.com, and I'm curious to get Jillian's opinion on it. It is about a young girl who said that she's been trying absolutely everything to lose weight. She's about 29 years old, and she's done everything from diet pills to eating only 500 calories a day and getting hormone injections the way to programs such as Weight Watchers. So recently, she had this new trial.
Okay.
And it's been approved by the FDA, so I wanted to get your situation on it. But basically,
I'm terrified.
What it is...
Poop injections.
No, it's a new device called the Abalon Balloon System. So basically...
They put a balloon in your stomach?
Yes, basically.
Make you feel more
full. Know about it?
No, I mean, it's self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nicole said before you came in, I was like, oh my God.
So the thing is, she she has been incorporating workouts. She's been she's been seeing a nutritionist daily, and she is under this trial. So she is monitored, but she's lost 45 pounds, and she said this has helped her learn how to listen to her body to understand when she's full.
Okay.
So I wanted to know your thoughts on it.
Well, okay. So this is the same thing as like other surgeries. I mean, not the same surgery, but it does the same thing, right? It's physiologically limiting your ability to eat food. And in some cases, for many people, it's worked really well. My concern is that I've also seen it go really wrong. So, you know, ultimately, if you're not dealing with the underlying issue, okay, so ready, here's the best part. I've tried everything and I can't lose weight. Well, what do you think the balloon did? It made her do what? Anybody? Anybody?
Restrict
anybody?
Calories.
Anybody? Right. So don't sit there and tell me you can't lose weight. It's not a chemical. It's not fairy dust. It made her eat less. So you can lose weight. And what caused it? Oh my God. Oh my God. Something totally revolutionary. Eating less food. Then we get to like, okay. Now, the problem is that if we know her body works fine, which it very clearly does, because she can lose weight if she doesn't eat as much food, then the issue is psychological. Well, having a balloon in your stomach is not going to take that away. So my concern is that when times get tough and things get hard, she'll eat through it. She'll eat past it. And then it causes really severe problems.
Like the people who overeat after gastric bypass.
Yeah. So, you know, this is where it's like, okay, I'm not going to take that away from somebody. But I think that you still, I would say this, I really wish it was a last resort, and I think you still need to do the deeper work, psychologically speaking. And look, she's like, I tried everything. What worked? Oh my, what a surprise.
Well, my question is when do you consider that a last resort? I'm looking at the article, and she's 29. That's a year older than I am, and I can definitely tell you I have not tried everything.
I can tell you what most people... Okay, so Shay, right? Who was a contestant I worked with on season 8 and is now... good friend of mine, and I think you guys remember, it's like, oh, the Biggest Loser destroyed their metabolisms, doesn't work. Blah. So Shay was a part of that study, and she was up, all the way back up, 500 pounds, whatever, and I'm like, stop, dude, stop it, stop, stop. Are you eating 2,000 calories a day? No. Are you moving your body at least 4 half-an-hours a week? No. I'm like, then don't come to me with your bullshit. Stop.
Yeah.
You know what it is. So then, I was like, this is going to be simple, right? Hence my permission diet. Here's 2,000 calories. I don't even care. We're not even going to get into chemicals. If you can limit chemicals, superb. Please
just
do.
Just
don't go over 2,000 calories, and I want you to walk 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes at night 5 times a week.
Yep.
Okay, well, here we are. 8 months later, she's 100 pounds down, and she's got some other things going on that I'll let her share that she's dealing with, right? And still... despite the stress, she's still 100 pounds down. Okay. Well, I guess there's nothing wrong with your body after all.
Right.
But that's fine. And she, you know, so when we got to this number we were trying to hit of 425, I was like, here, you know, great, okay, we're here. She got up to like 520, and she was like, every doctor told me I needed gastric bypass. Every single one.
Wow.
Wow. So, I mean, because they just don't know what to do. So they're like, well, this patient's going to die, so let's just do that.
Well, do you think that's why they advise it, is so they can, I guess what I'm trying to say is, if they don't think this person can get to where they want themselves quick enough for your body to not give out on you, do you think that's when they start recommending it?
Or 29 is young. And I mean, maybe, I don't know enough about the balloon thing. I'm hoping, well, I would guess it's better than cutting out part of your stomach, because the hope is you can remove it.
I didn't see, I was looking for that part, but I didn't see what happens with it. All I saw is that the doctor goes in and basically puts a catheter up and inflates it to about the size of an orange.
God. Well, that's got to be better than cutting out part of your stomach. I mean, I don't
the
know.
The catheter, doesn't that go through your pee hole?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, but hey, they're not cutting your stomach open. That's going to be better. I mean, that's going to be better. I don't know. Look, I'm still saying you're not dealing with the issues that are making you overweight, because don't give me. And look what she said. I tried everything. Well, clearly you didn't try restricting your I tried eating 500 calories. Oh, come on. Is that common sense?
Once you get to 500 calories, isn't that considered
starvation?
Yes.
Yeah, it's starvation.
And then your body kind of shuts down.
Then your metabolism will shut down because, it thinks you're starving. Yeah. Don't forget to email us your questions. We want to talk to you at JillianPodcast@gmail.com.